There was only one perfect man who ever lived. Now, the women are all saying, boy, is that true, okay? But I want to use the word man in an inclusive sense today, so we're including men and women. Only one perfect person who ever lived. And for the record, that perfect person was Jesus Christ. He never sinned. But all of the rest of us, every other person who ever lived, every person whose name is mentioned in the Bible, all of us except Jesus, are just sinners saved by grace. And the Bible never hides that fact. Although there may have been some very good people mentioned in the Bible, none of them, not one of them except Jesus, was perfect. And the Bible shows us its heroes with feet of clay. For like us, they have all sinned and fallen short. So it is that in the passage Jeff just read to you from the book of Numbers, we see great Moses' feet of clay. The situation was this. The Hebrews had been turned back into the desert. Now, they had been denied access to the promised land because they continually rebelled against Aaron and Moses and so disobeyed God. This had happened not once, but several times. We've discussed it as we've made our way through the book of Numbers. The consequences of their choice to disobey God was that they were forced back into the wilderness where they would wander for 40 years. For the record, folks, it was not Moses' fault. And it was not Aaron's fault. It was the consequence of the people's own bad behavior. It was therefore their fault. But have you ever noticed the human propensity to blame someone else? Maybe even God. For the direct consequences of our own disobedience. You know, children do that all the time. I've noticed it with kids. Soon as something happens, the one who does it says, I didn't do it, Johnny did. Right? They always do that. And you know, those behaviors we learn as children tend to linger over into our adulthood. So even as adults, we tend to look for somebody else to blame. That's what the Hebrews did. The Hebrews grumbled against Moses and Aaron again. See, the Hebrews discovered that the desert lacked the resources they needed to enjoy life. Specifically, it lacked water. I think that's why they call it the desert, because it lacks water. It is an area that lacks the basic resources needed to support life, particularly it lacks water. I want to say to them, what did you expect when God turned you back into the desert? But they had no water. So the Hebrews grumbled and complained about Moses and Aaron. They wanted to blame somebody else. Basically, they told Moses that it would have been better if they had died a quick death, like the ones God struck dead for open rebellion a few chapters back. Better to die quick, they said, than to die slowly of thirst and hunger. They demanded to know why Moses had brought them out into the desert to die a slow, agonizing death. Now, just a couple of quick observations here. Observation number one, old habits die hard. Once you have learned a bad behavior, let me just suggest a couple. Grumbling and complaining being top on the list, given the text for today. Or maybe your problem is gossiping or eavesdropping Or maybe you like to talk back to your parents' kids. Or maybe it's something like smoking. I mean, once you learn a bad habit, it's hard to break it, isn't it? And so it is in the text today that Israel fell back into old behavior. At the very first chance, they fell back into old behavior. They're grumbling and complaining against Moses and Aaron again. Old habits die hard. And observation number two, there's nothing new here. The old behavior tends to show itself in exactly the same way it used to. It keeps coming back the same way. Ever notice that? The people, the Hebrew people, use almost exactly the same words to complain about Moses and Aaron in this passage as they used every other time before. To repeat a famous pastor, they just didn't get it. They had learned absolutely nothing. There is nothing new here in their behavior. And observation number three, if you do what you have always done, you will most likely get what you have always gotten. If God smacked you for that behavior last week, if you are wandering in the desert for 40 years as a result of the same bad habit, why would you expect to be rewarded differently this time? Wise up. Catch on here. Rebellion against God always brings judgment and ugly consequences. And you know what? It's as true today as it was in the days of Moses. There is no other way to be happy but to trust and obey. Rebellion, bad behavior, only brings judgment and ugly consequences. Now, in the story, with this new rebellion of the people, Moses did what he had always done before, that which had always brought him reward. Moses took the matter to God. Moses prayed, asking God what he should do about the matter. And God answered Moses' prayer. Now, I just want to repeat this so you get it. God is always faithful. There will be a para aduma. It will come. God answers prayer. Moses prayed, and God answered his prayer. He told Moses exactly what Moses should do. God said to Moses, take your staff in your hand and speak to the rock before you. Now, I have to tell you, sometimes when God tells you what to do, you go, what? Did I hear you right? God says, take your staff in your hand and go talk to a rock. And you want to say back to God, really? Is the battery in my hearing aid dead? Talk to a rock? Now, the instructions are simple, but they are specific. Holding the staff, which is the indication of God's choice, Moses was to go speak to the rock. And God said that when Moses spoke to the rock, water would flow from it to quench the thirst of God's people. Now, just for the record, here comes the rock. That is the rock right there. Are there more pictures of the rock? Oh, there's the rock. That's the guy standing in front of the rock. You see the little guy standing there? That's him. That's how big the rock is that Moses is supposed to talk to. There's the rock. You can see it up there on the hill. Do you have a picture of the plane? Look at the rock. That's the rock. And if you look at it from the rock down, you will see that there is a big plain out there where the water can collect to feed the people. Speak to that rock, and water will flow from it, God said. Now, I want to go back to, is the rock still there? Look, I've heard people say that the stories of the Bible are just nice stories to inspire us. Okay? Moses made them up. Okay? You know what happened? Moses walking through the desert one day, and he saw that rock. And he go, oh, I think I'll make up a story about that rock. How water flowed from it. Just so the people will be inspired. See, the issue is that the record, the biblical record is historical. The stories are true. The events that it tells actually happened. There's the rock. Now, I've said to you several times in the last few weeks, but let me just say it again. Follow the example of great Moses. Whenever life presents you a problem, like a tree has fallen over you in your driveway, no names mentioned. Okay? Somebody's giving you a hard time at work. Okay? Your wife is being ugly and mean, guys. Okay? Or your husband is in his nothing box. Okay? Whenever life presents you with a problem, take the matter to the Lord in prayer. Moses did it every time. Jesus did it. Just take it to the Lord in prayer, not every now and then, every time. And then, when God tells you what to do, even if it doesn't make sense to you, when God tells you what to do, do it! Mm-hmm. Now, just for the record, the instruction book, you've heard me say this before, this is where God tells you what to do. Okay, that little voice that speaks into you will never speak in contradiction to this. Okay, when he tells you what to do, do it. Here is what God wants you to do. You catching on yet? But on the day in question, great Moses failed to trust and obey. God said, speak to the rock. But if you look at the record quickly, or clearly, on this day, after assembling the Hebrew people, Moses didn't speak to the rock. He spoke to the people. Now, I want to make it real clear. That makes sense to me. Talking to rocks usually does not produce much results. Okay? All right? People are more persuadable than rocks. That's hard. I know some people have rock hard heads, but nonetheless, there's still more chance that you're going to move a person with your words than you are a rock. So Moses, reasoning in his own mind, said, oh, let me talk to the people. He said to the people of Israel, you rebels, must we bring water from this rock? Now, I want you to know he was right. They were rebels. Okay, the record proves it. Every chance they got, they were rebels. But Moses' words to them that day implied that he and Aaron, were going to bring water from the rock. When it was not he who would bring the water from the water would be provided by God. Moses spoke to the people, focusing attention upon himself and not upon God, who is our provider. And then Moses walked up to that rock and whacked it He struck it. Not once, but twice. Moses struck the rock. Now, God never told him to do that, folks. He was improvising on the plan of God. Okay? God said, speak. Moses said, whoop. Whoop. Whether he did it out of anger, out of thoughtlessness, maybe he thought he was improving on the plan of God. No matter why he did it, that day, great Moses did not follow the instructions of God exactly. Moses did not trust and obey. Now, a couple more observations. Okay. Number four, God does not respect persons. Now, I'm going to explain this to you. I'm going to explain, as Ricky used to say. Okay? God does respect you as a person. Okay? He is waiting on you to make the choice to accept him as your God, to name him God. He's waiting on you to accept Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. He is respecting you. He will not thrust in upon you. When we say that God is not a respecter of persons, what we mean is he doesn't look on you differently than he looks on me. I mean, I know I am special. It says it on my door. He loves you, but I'm his favorite. It says that. Okay? But nonetheless, okay, even though I am truly his favorite, okay, he treats us all the same. When we say that God is not a respecter of persons, that's what we mean. So even though Moses was God's choice to lead the people, even though in every other instance but this one, Moses is always completely faithful in following God, even though this transgression may seem tiny in the general spectrum of transgressions to us, Moses, because he did not trust God and obey God, did not follow God's instructions, specific instructions exactly, Moses fell under judgment. The consequences of his personal rebellion against God was judgment. And he fell under the same judgment as did all of the other rebellious Hebrews. He was denied permission to enter the promised land. Rebellion brings judgment. And judgment has ugly consequences. And so that day, great Moses was told that not even he would be allowed to enter the land. Observation number five, God is forever faithful. You know what happened? Water flowed from the rock, just as God said it would. Even though Moses did it wrong, thank you, God. Even though Moses did it wrong, water flowed from the rock, not because of who Moses was or because what Moses did or didn't do, but because of who God is. God is forever faithful. And the day did come when Israel was given permission at long last to enter the promised land. And there will be a para aduma. And the temple will be rebuilt in Jerusalem. Because, folks, our God is forever faithful.